Appreciate Pastor Dick inviting us to come back once again for a ninth year in a row. What a blessing that is. I remember 8 years ago having come right after camp, and it was the first time we had seen the auditorium and been here for just one night. And then the next day, that was Monday night, and then Tuesday, Pastor and I and Casey, was it?
Yes.
That was a railroad name. Okay, Casey Jones. We went up to the next, I always get confused with Rigby and Rugby. Is it Rugby?
Rugby, yes.
Rugby, okay. Yeah. And I came here one day, and the next day, Pastor took me to prison. But I keep coming back. And he took us up there, and I was able to take in a uniform, take in an accordion, did a dramatization with a uniform on and played the accordion and preached. And there were two rows of inmates there. I think maybe we had 2 hours, two services. I'm not sure of that part. And there was very, very little room. It was like from here to the wall, from there to the second pew, maybe. But a little bit different, longer than it was deep, I suppose. And here were these inmates sitting there with their probably orange outfits. And I asked, well, who wants to be saved? And somebody did, wanted to confess their sin and ask the Lord to be their Savior. And right there in front of the other inmates, he bowed his head and he prayed. And I said, well, who else would like to be saved? Somebody over here want to be saved. And they bowed their head and confessed their sins. And one of them prayed for the family of the person that they, I don't know what word they used, I'll say had harmed. And I don't know if they took a life or if they just harmed them or what they did to them. But he was praying for that family, and I was impressed with that. Sounded like he was repentant. And there were, I don't know, maybe four of them that asked the Lord to be their Savior. What a blessing that was to be able to go up there and to share the gospel in the prison. And with the time that I have remaining, I'd like to take a look at John chapter 3. If you would turn there, please. In John chapter 3, we appreciate Pastor inviting us back and for the ladies that are providing meals and food and things and all the work that is necessary. There's a ton of work necessary to have a camp. That is a big endeavor, and we're so thankful that the Dick family and the church is willing to have a camp that is not just for them, but for strangers, people they don't know, people from the United States or and usually from Canada, people from various states coming, and some come 600 miles due north from southern Nebraska, and they really have a long haul to get up here. And I very much appreciate the contingent from Nebraska that would come each year. And if you're able to stand, I'd like to have you stand, please, as I read from John chapter 3 and verse 7. And if you're not able to stand, that's quite all right. You remain seated. But in John chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." I'm going to go back for context. And let's go back to verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi." That's a term of honor. It means teacher. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him." Now, we've got a section here. If you have a red letter edition, it's in red. It's the words of Jesus. "Verily" means truly. "And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's the only way to be saved, to go to heaven. In verse 4, it says, "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born?" He didn't understand. Now, we might go knock at somebody's door and try to tell them how to be saved, and they don't understand. They hear the words, but they don't understand. And we want the Holy Spirit to teach them, and we want to explain it clearly to them. Verse 5, it says, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." So we have a watery birth, a physical birth. We have a spiritual birth with the Spirit of God. "He cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So he's saying once again, you have to be born again. Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now each one of us, or those listening via the internet, we all have a physical birth. We know that. But have you had a spiritual birth? Have you been born again? And so in verse 7 it says, "Marvel not." Don't be surprised at this, Nicodemus. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And so it's imperative. You have to be born again to be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that tells us these things that are imperative that we'll look at in these chapters. Lord, I pray that you would help us to look at our heart, look at our life, and see if we have done those things that must be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is It's Imperative. It's imperative that I move right along because this morning is only 5 more minutes. And then it'll be afternoon. But it's imperative. You must be born again. It has to happen or you can't go to heaven. There is no other way to get to heaven. You must be born again for salvation. The pit of sin in Psalm 40. David talks about being down in the pit of sin. And that's not going to get you to heaven, to be down there with your sin. There's the position of the saved where God reached down into the pit and pulled David up out of the pit and put him on a rock to praise the Lord. And so we have the position of the saved where he's on the rock and he's out of the pit. God has washed him and cleansed him of his sin. And then there's the path of security. In Psalm 40, in verse 2, it says, "And establish my goings," that God would set him on the right path. And there's the praise of the saint in verse 3. Psalm 40 in verse 3, where David is praising God. But it's imperative. You must be born again. If I said no more, if I stopped right there, yes, you have to be saved. You can't go to heaven without being born again. Well, secondly, though, we're going to go on to, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We're in chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Jesus says this, "And as Moses," here's a history lesson from the past, "and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." It's imperative. If Jesus was not up on the cross, we have a red cross on the flag for the Christian flag. If Jesus did not shed his red blood on the cross and stain the cross to wash away our sin with his precious blood, then we could not be saved. He must be lifted up. And also, we should lift up Christ. We should speak well of Christ. If somebody speaks poorly against God, we should speak well of him. Today in our country, I'm sad to say, in the last year or so, they've been tearing down statues, tearing down monuments of heroes, tearing down statues of people from our early history. And they are scorning them, and they are speaking evil of them. And if somebody would speak evil of Christ, we need to stand up for him. We need to lift him up. And so in that sense, he must be lifted up. In Psalm 30, verse 1, it says, "I will extol thee." In Psalm 30, verse 2, it says, "Thou hast kept me alive." He's speaking well of God. In verse 4, the psalmist says, "Sing unto the Lord and give thanks." He's speaking well of him. He's singing about him. In verse 5, it says, "In his favor is life." Speaking well of the Lord Jesus, praising the Lord. In verse 11, there's gladness there. "Thou hast turned for me my mourning," my sadness, "into dancing." Praise the Lord that God has blessed me, and we're lifting up the Lord and praising him. "I will ever give thanks unto thee forever," in verse 12. All of that in Psalm chapter 30. God wants us to lift up Jesus and speak well of him, and he had to be lifted up on the cross or we couldn't be saved. Well, then look at verse 30. You're in John chapter 3 in verse 30. Verse 30 says, "He," that's Jesus, "must increase, but I," that's John the Baptist, "must decrease." And so you have John the Baptist who is elevating and lifting up Christ, and that Christ would increase, that we would go and knock on doors and go tell people about Christ, that they know who Christ is. And we speak well of him. We lift him up. And we must decrease. It isn't us. We aren't saving anybody. I remember going to a vacation Bible school, to lead a vacation Bible school down in West Columbia, South Carolina. And they had as many workers as most vacation Bible schools that I'm familiar with had students, had kids. And so in that big auditorium, the church auditorium, they had the workers get in the choir loft and they filled the choir loft, big choir loft. And I had driven hundreds of miles down there, 400 some miles. And I got up there, it was my turn to speak to the workers at the vacation Bible school where I was the invited evangelist. And I told them flat out, "I can't save anybody. I've come 400 miles. I can't save anybody. I'm the invited evangelist for the week. I can't save anybody. God alone can save someone. We can go knock at the door and we can share Christ. We can lift up Christ. But God has to save them." And John the Baptist knew that he needed to lift up Christ, that Christ should increase, that his fame would increase, that people would know that he's the only Savior, the only wise God, our Savior, and that John the Baptist is nothing, even though Jesus said that John the Baptist was greatest among men. God is everything in Psalm 8. God's excellent name, God's excellent glory, God's exceeding might, there in Psalm 8, verses 1 and 2. We are nothing. David's downward view in verse 3 of Psalm 8. He talks about David's upward view, I want to say first. He looks up at the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Last night, Alec kept watching me, or maybe it's Mason was watching me, and I was going over to look at the sunset, and there was a faint fireball over there. And I'd go back, and it was down lower, and you couldn't even see it. And I went back, and you still couldn't see it because of the haze and the clouds. It was still up, but you couldn't see it. And then last night, later on, looking at the quarter moon up there, and I was looking this morning to see where the sun would rise. And David is looking at the sun and the moon and the stars that God has made. And he cares about us. He cares about whether we're saved or not. He died on the cross for us. Wow, I'm impressed. And then David's downward view of man. Oh, what are we? We're nothing. Well, then fourthly, he must needs go through Samaria. We're going to go to chapter 4 and verse 4, talking about Jesus. And he must needs go through Samaria. I believe that this summer I must go to Harvey. I put Harvey up on the board over and over again. On the left-hand board, I think Pastor probably had already asked me to come. And so we knew we were coming. It was on the plan to come at least. And so on the left-hand corner of the chalkboard, I put Harvey, North Dakota. I put Harvey, North Dakota Church. That's today. And then another day after Minot, I put Harvey, North Dakota Camp. That's starting on Tuesday until Saturday. And we've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed time after time after time, day after day after day, for this church, this pulpit, the preaching of God's word today and the rest of the week, and for your pastor and for you folks here. My students know Harvey, North Dakota, Harvey, North Dakota, the church, the camp, the church, the camp. They've prayed and prayed. They'll pray in homeroom. They'll pray in history class. They'll pray in science class. They'll pray in another science class. They'll pray in chapel. Somebody else, another teacher, calls on one of the students to stand and pray, and he'll stand and pray for Brother Manka's meetings in the summer. He's praying for you. He's praying for Harvey, the church. He's praying for Harvey, for Camp Victory. And I believe that I must come to this pulpit. I believe that I must come to this church. I believe that I must come to this camp. Why? Because I'm important? No. But because it's on God's schedule for me to be here. And here was Jesus. He must needs go through Samaria. The steps of a Christian are ordered by the Lord in Psalm 37, verse 23. I believe that God has ordained my steps for the last 8 years and for this year to come to Harvey, North Dakota. And the steps of a Christian are ordered by the word in Psalm 119, verse 133. And so Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Well, then in John chapter 4 and verse 24, if you look at that verse, John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, it's imperative. There's that word must again. Worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's talking to the woman at the well, and she had ways to worship. The Samaritans, they had ways to worship, but God says Jesus said, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, well, we have a seat right here. Nobody's sitting here. You know, John Doe, and nobody's sitting over there. Jane Doe, or whoever it happens to be, a fictitious person. If they're going to worship God, how are they going to worship God? They have to worship God in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit of God, and in truth. Where's the truth? Right in the Word of God. Things that are true about God. And that's how we must worship him that way. It's imperative. It has to happen. Well, I'm going to go quickly to the next point, and that is, I must work the works of him that sent me. Turn to John chapter 9, and we'll see Jesus say this. I was the leader of a teen group in Delaware. This was our theme verse for the teen group in John chapter 9 and verse 4, and it says this. This is Jesus speaking. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus had to do all the things that God wanted him to do while he was here. While it was day for him, he was to do it then. And God wants us to do things this day here in the church. God wants for Pastor and for myself to do something for him in the nursing home this afternoon. God has ordained that I would go to Minot and preach there at the Baptist Church tonight. God has ordained that we would come and have camp, and that Pastor Paul would do the things that God wants him to do at camp. Pastor Paul would have me do the things that God wants me to do at camp. Pastor Paul would have other workers to be doing things at camp. And it's imperative that we work the works of him while it is day. Now, it could be that I'd have a heart attack and I wouldn't get to go to the nursing home, that I would go to the hospital, or that I would die before I go to the nursing home for 2 o'clock or whatever time we're going to be there. It's while it's day. It's day for me now. I can speak now. I can preach now. I can sing now. I can share Christ now. I can pass out tracts now. But as soon as I die, I can't speak. Not with this tongue. Oh, I can in those books. One thing I like about writing, that who knows? I don't know. If the Lord should tarry 100 years from now, would somebody read something that was a letter to the editor or was in one of those books? Maybe. I don't know. But this tongue will cease. And while it is day, I must do the things that God wants me to do. Are you saved? You must be born again, or you can't go to heaven. And these other things are imperative. They have to be so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God that tells us that we must be born again. And Lord, I pray for anyone here in the room or anyone that's listening online that is not saved. Lord, I pray that you would save them. Help them to understand that Jesus died on the cross for them. Help them to understand that they've sinned against a holy God and offended God. And Lord, I pray that you would cause them to be humble enough to come and say, oh God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Wash away my sin and save me. Lord, I pray that they would be born again, because they must if they're not saved yet. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Paul?